The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey friends, welcome back to The Common Good here on AIM 1160, Hope for Your Life, alongside Aubrey Sampson. My name is Brian Fromm, and as pastors, Aubrey and I, we often talk about what difference does your Monday through Friday work mean in your life? Like, why? How can God use that to make a difference? Why does it matter? And with that in mind, we're excited to bring on the author of a book called Work That Makes a Difference. He's professor of biblical and systematic theology at Covenant Theological Seminary, also the founder of the Center of Faith and Work in St. Louis. That's Dr. Daniel Doriani. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Good to be on the show with you, Brian and Aubrey.
Yeah, we're grateful for you, Dan. Hey, before we jump into your book and this really important topic, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit more to our audience so they can get to know you?
Well, right. I'm a little bit like you two. I've been a pastor for a number of years, about 16 years, but I'm also a professor most of my life. And as a pastor, I noticed that a lot of the people in my churches had very serious doubts about the value of their work from Monday to Friday. And it's been a lifelong interest of mine to help people express their faith in the workplace and see the value of their work. I've interviewed hundreds of people, maybe 500 people. And I also have a podcast called Working that interviews Christians who are making a difference at their work.
Oh, that is fantastic. And yeah, we told you off air, Dan, that Brian and I are both pastors. So there are a lot of people that we all probably minister to or come into contact with that maybe don't see their work as something that contributes to the kingdom. And so I'd love to just jump in there. Talk to us about how our work actually can serve God and serve our neighbor and serve the world.
Right. So maybe the best way to do it is to look at what Jesus said in Matthew 25, where he talks about the last day when everybody stands before him, including his own people. And he'll say to them, blessed are you who, by my Father, you who inherit, you'll inherit the kingdom from the foundation of the world. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, I was sick, I was in prison, and you served me. And the righteous will say, we don't remember doing that. When did that happen? That missed us somehow. Jesus will say, look, when you did it to the least of these, anybody who was hungry, anybody who needed food or water or clothing and shelter or medical care or in prison or other ways isolated, you did it for me. And you know, the truth is, we usually do that at work. I mean, if you're feeding people, you may serve in a soup kitchen at Thanksgiving, which is great. But the truth is, you're really feeding people if you work at a grocery store or on a farm or you're a truck driver. And, you know, my interest in this all began with a godly truck driver who told me, my work is meaningless. All I do is drive bread around. And I said, well, what do you want people to do? Drive to Minnesota to pick up some wheat? Our transportation system in the West is what allows people to have lots of food and clothing and shelter. So working as a truck driver is very important. We didn't believe that until the pandemic. Now we see it. But there are constantly jobs that we diminish the significance of, and people diminish the significance of their own work so often because it just seems maybe as a way to make money or as time spent so they can get to the real service, maybe volunteer work or caring for their families.
Yeah, and Dan, I'd love to drill down there. Where does that come from? What have we done that has kind of split the sacred from our everyday life? How do you think we've grown that in the church and as Christians?
Yeah, there's probably four answers to that question, Brian and Aubrey. The first one is, for a long time, the church did exalt pastors or priests and bishops and so forth, monks, nuns, above everybody else and said, those people have callings and everybody else just has ordinary work and really godly people contemplate God. And that was, done in isolation and, maybe a monastery. And that idea was around for 1,000 years and had a lot of influence. Another issue is a lot of Christians are deeply uneasy about the work they do. You know, they're not sure it is meaningful. And you have to say that a few Christians probably are doing work that isn't very valuable, and they know it, and we should probably say it to them. You know, if you're running, I don't know, making promotional T-shirts or promotional pens are going to fall apart almost immediately. They know their work isn't very good, or maybe marketing things that they know are inferior products, and you have to say that. But most of the time, Christians have lost sight of the ways in which they love their neighbors themselves. So I have a daughter who's an architect, and I remind her that when she helps put up a building, that building can serve people, thousands of people, for 100 or 200 years. And you just have to lift your eyes and see that when you're making a chair, that chair might be $5, you know, for your back porch, but it might last 100 years. And making a good chair is loving every person who ever sits in that chair. And designing a good building is loving every person who enters that building for the next 100 years.
Oh, that's, I love thinking about our work like that. Dan, you said before that you interviewed close to 500 people, if not more. I would love to just hear one or two stories that really stood out to you as you were writing.
Yeah, I'd love to share two stories. So one of them is a man who's become a very good friend of mine, and I didn't realize what an effective businessman he was. And for a little while during the pandemic, one of his firms was the leading manufacturer of ventilators in the world. He just has this enormous knack to turn things around and to see potential and to make deals that somehow other people don't see. And he had this tiny little ventilator company, and he was near a recently abandoned GM plant. And he said, you know, we could transform, you know, we could take this empty GM plant and the recently unemployed workers there and retrain them and make a bunch of ventilators. But, you know, even he is prone to say, I just, you know, I just made a little deal. I just happened to be near a plant. I just happened to see things a few other people don't see. I'm like, my friend, you've saved so many lives. So that's on the one side. On the other side, I have a friend who's a surgeon for many years. And I tell the story at length in the book, but in brief, he's, you know, one of these very high-end surgeons who took care of a certain cancer that hit behind the eyebrows and behind the eyes. And when he started, everybody died. Every last person who got it died. And then slowly he began to save people's lives, but they were blind afterward. And then he learned how to save one eye, and then he learned how to save both eyes. And, you know, this took decades. But then after it was over, he began to see that the chemo and radiation that was given by other people on his team was excessive and would actually impair their functioning down the line as they live, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 more years. And so he started work on that. And he was not an I-just guy. He knew that what he was doing is important because he saw the consequences of too much chemo and too much radiation. And he had to sacrifice really hard. I mean, he sacrificed via facing down a lot of opposition from people who said, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a surgeon. You get out of our lane. We're the ones who do post-operative care. And he said, well, yeah, but I see what happens to them a year down the road when their bodily functions have been compromised by too much chemo and radiation. Mm-hmm. And he used his position for a long time. In the book, I talk about the four P's that give us the power to change the world a little bit, at least our corner. The first is position, and then, of course, you have to have passion, you have to persevere, and you have to have principles that you live by. But he used his position as best he could for a long time and got a lot, made a lot of progress on changing protocols, but he also paid a price. And making a difference in the world does also mean a willingness to pay a price because people do resist change that could hurt them or that upsets, I'll say, treasured or established outlooks on things. It's hard to affect the change in a big system.
Yeah, yeah. It's such an important concept and such an important book called Work That Makes a Difference. The author is Dr. Daniel Doriani. Dan, you also wrote at the Gospel Coalition an article we talked about, you know, back when it came out called I Just Do Ordinary Work, just in quotes. And we've heard you use that phrase a bunch. Thank you so much for this, man. Where can people connect with you? Why don't you give us all the places where they can read what you write, maybe pick up your book, maybe social media. Where can people connect with you?
Thank you for asking that. Well, the good news is I'm the only Dan Doriani in the world that's an immigrant name. That just, you know, one of those names that has no meaning in any language. So if you find my name, you found me. But I do have a Center for Faith and Work in St. Louis. You can find that. And you know, my books are in all the normal spots out there, whether, you know, Westminster Bookstore, Christian Book Distributors, or Amazon. And I'd love to have you listen to my podcast. I have some really interesting Christians on my podcast called Working. And thanks for asking.
Yeah, Dan, it's been great to have you on. One more time, the name of the book is Work That Makes a Difference. That author is Dr. Daniel Doriani. Dan, it's great to meet you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, glad to be with you, Brian and Aubrey.
Our pleasure. You're listening to The Common Good on AIM 1160, Hope for Your Life.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.